It lost to settlers using a low trick no Tuscan 4 years earlier would have fallen for. The settlers would know now the mighty Tuscans were not what they once were. Struggling to stand, a Yark looked down at the ground. The elder shadow lengthened. Like the older brother son, the band had struck and failed. It was time for the Tuscans to hide again. Chapter 2. Warren Galt towered over the farm, a lofty witness as some Tuscans ran for their lives and others ran to their deaths. Clinging to the side of the Vaporator Tower, he watched the last land speeder disappear over the horizon. "Okay, call control, that's got it," he said into his comlink. "Shut it down." He released the comlink button and listened. His ears still rang from the alarm atop the tower, which he had just deactivated by hand. Peering out from beneath the canvas brim of his range hat, he scanned the landscape. One by one, the sirens kilometers away went quiet, and silence returned to the desert. He looked at the comlink and cracked a grin. "Orin, son, that's some pull you've got there." It was nice to reach a point in life where people did what you said. And on Tatooine, where the people were born cussed and nobody took orders from anyone else, it meant even more. The danger was past. For the first time since receiving the distress signal, Orin took a deep breath and pondered the barren land below. He'd been born on a farm just like this, far from the nearest way station, nearly 50 standard years earlier. And even now, there was no place he'd rather be in the morning than on the range. People thought he was crazy for that. Everyone he'd ever met preferred the evening, with its relief from the heat. But once the suns were gone, and the air settled on you like something dead and heavy, you had to get underground. Nothing good happened after dark, with Tuscans and who knows what else on the prowl. Mornings, meanwhile, were like getting out of jail, or so Orin imagined. On Tatooine, you might overnight know better than a womp rat in a hole, but you'd become human the second you stepped outside. And then there was that little stretch between first and second sun, when the cold night wind would kick its last and the planet itself would sigh. Good water prospectors lived for those moments, when the precious drops that had birthed in the night suddenly realized you were onto them and fled. A smart farmer, like Orin, could smell them and follow them. And it was possible to follow them, because in daylight nothing could stop you. Not in this region. Not anymore. Those were the rules. The new rules, maybe, but his rules, made possible by his hard work and guidance. "Guess I forgot to tell this batch of Tuscans," he thought, climbing down the ladder. The raiders had ruined more than the morning for these poor people. Orin winced. The guts of half a dozen maintenance and sentry droids marked the Tuscans' path into the camp. Two vaporators sparked, maintenance doors at their bases bashed open. And then there were the strike points, scattered randomly around the yard. A couple smoked still, where blaster fire had flash-fused the sand into lightning glass. His posse had left those, not the Tuscans. Orin had never known Plug-Eye to use blasters on the way in. Plug-Eye. This raid could have been the work of no other. No other Tuscan in this part of the Jundland Wastes would dare attack at dawn. No one had ever caught more than half a glance of Plug-Eye and lived to describe it. If they'd lived, Orin always said, then they didn't meet Plug-Eye, but some other Tuscan, with a more amiable disposition. Descriptions of the notorious raider varied. Skinny or fat? Male or female? Short and stubby or a Wookiee in a robe. The tales had only two things in common. Plug-Eye was fierce as fire. And where other sand people had metal turrets for their eye holes, something must have happened to one of the warrior's eyes. Rather than simply removing the eyepiece, Plug-Eye had jammed a crimson stone into the opening. Or something. The stories didn't even agree on which eye it was. This time, though, things might be different. They'd arrived quickly enough to save some witnesses. Orin had already been dressed and in the fields for an hour when the call, or more correctly, the call, came. That fact and his work team's proximity had saved the Bizarre family from a horrific end. But what had come before was tragic enough. Two of Orin's neighbors, cousins on his ex-wife's side of the family, exited the back door of the house carrying the body of the Bith farmhand. Orin looked down as they passed. The posse would handle the burial, just as, over the dune to the east, more volunteers were burning the dead Tuscans. They had to make this as easy for the Bizards as possible. He'd lived through it before, when his youngest had died, just as senselessly. Orin heard motion in the house.
"Mullen, you in there?" he asked.
"Yep."
Orin's older son, he couldn't bring himself to think of him as the only son yet, sauntered from the building holding two halves of a blaster rifle.
"Looks like Plug-Eye was here,"
Mullen said.
"Figured."
Inscrutable behind his black goggles, Mullen Gault could have been a clone of his father at 25, if the younger man weren't trying so hard to look like someone else. Both were tall and powerfully built, with the ruddy skin of farmers born and raised. There the similarities ended. Blue-eyed Orin's hair was dark and elegantly graying. He tried to look nice, even on the range. You never knew who might happen by. Mullen, meanwhile, had woken in his clothes from the previous night's carousing. That was typical. He'd sacrificed several teeth years earlier to a tangle with a gambler in Anchorhead, and he'd lost another in the same town just recently. People said that was why Mullen frowned as often as his father smiled. But Orin knew that wasn't so. The boy had been scowling in the crib. Orin took the rifle pieces. Most Tuscans wouldn't leave anything that might be useful. Plug-Eye seemed pickier. How many were there? Mullen picked at his beard.